Okay, so this is the section on simplicity, and one of the most important things I want you to learn in the context of simplicity is how to be economical with your words. The concept of economy is really important in writing well, because often we're writing with such extra baggage and flabbiness in our prose that it actually weakens the power of it. So the idea of simplicity and economy is absolutely critical to great writing. Now, one of the biggest contributors to economy is to use shorter words, simply use shorter words rather than long words. And, you know, there are exceptions to this, and there are cases where it's justifiable, particularly when it comes to the precision of what you're saying. But in general, prefer a shorter word to a longer word, because it's just faster to read, and therefore it kind of it improves comprehension, quickens comprehension. So say use instead of utilize, adopt, or deploy, rather than saying obtain something, just say get. What could you say instead of approximately? That's right, about. And how about an alternative to call a halt to? Stop. Demonstrate. Show. Acquire. Buy. If you say that someone does something in a certain manner, you could really say they do it in a certain way. And rather than say that a meeting will commence in half an hour, you would say the meeting will start in half an hour. And this comes back to a principle that, you know, whenever you're kind of adding unnecessary ceremony to a sentence, it always looks a little bit tacky. So it's best to just go for the most commonly used word. Available to you, because it just sounds a little bit poncy to start using kind of fancy words when you don't really need to. You're not really fooling anybody. And George Orwell, the famous British writer, agrees with this, because he, and in fact I learned this from him, was he said never use a long word when a short one will do. And that's a very, very useful principle to follow. So keep that in your head as a maxim. Now, there, it's important at the same time to understand that you would break that rule, but for a higher purpose. And one of the higher purposes is to avoid repetition. See, you may have said the word use repeatedly, and you know, it's just beginning to sound a little bit lame. So, for example, if you've talked a lot about two companies, SGX in Singapore, and its bid to buy ASX, a stock exchange operator in Australia, and if you've said buy, the word buy, several times, then it's okay to say acquire in a subsequent sentence in order to avoid that kind of overuse of the same word. So there are exceptions to this, but the thing is, you weigh it up, you know. Always prefer the short version unless, you know, there's another reason, a good reason not to. The other thing is, you might use one of the longer words like acquire because it might add some rhythm to the sentence. You know, sometimes sentences do have rhythm, and if it just kind of makes it, if a sentence sounds too staccato with the word buy in there, and the word acquire just gives it some extra grace, you might want to do it for that reason. But that's a whole another issue which you have to, that's a very advanced level of writing, that you have to really understand the concept of rhythm very well. And the third reason where you'd break the rule of using a short word instead of a long word is where there is a real distinction between the word buy and acquire that's important to the point that you're making. For example, you can buy something and yet not acquire it. For example, a gift. You can buy a gift and not have it for yourself, so you're not acquiring it. You can acquire something that you didn't buy, a gift again. You can acquire a gift, but you didn't buy a gift. But in most contexts, long and short words are often interchangeable, and you should prefer the short one. Now, in the English language, there are words which, like show and demonstrate, can often be interchanged, but they can also be distinct as well because they have specific meaning that you can't use the word show instead of demonstrate in some context. So it's all about paying attention to the to these words. If you think about them enough, you begin to start to really use words in a considered manner, and that's what I'm really trying to get at by showing you these examples. You need to think about these words very deeply. You can show that water boils at 100 degrees, and you can demonstrate that water boils at 100 degrees, and both of those the two words are interchangeable in that sentence. But you can show someone an engagement ring, but you're not demonstrating an engagement ring to them. So the two words can be used distinctively as well. So you have to be sensitive to those differences. Now you can use, adopt, or deploy an argument against someone, but you can adopt children without deploying children. So there again is a distinctive meaning. So the principle I'm trying to get you to understand is that some words can be used interchangeably, but there are times and moments when they cannot be used interchangeably, and where one or the other expresses your meaning more clearly. Now, the other principles, so we've looked at shorter words. The other part of economy or economical writing is the use of fewer words whenever possible. So I always, in my writing, and a journalist in general, if they're good, will always try to use the fewest number of words possible to express a particular idea or thought. So when you're writing something and you notice, and you should be looking for ways to condense it even more than it is, because the more you're able to condense it, the more power that sentence gains, the punchier it becomes. So this principle of fewer words is absolutely critical to great writing. You see, rather than saying, "He said he would conduct an investigation." Now, on the face of that, that seems fine, and you know, one, two, three, four, five, six, 7 words. He said he would conduct an investigation. But how about instead of conduct an investigation, you just said he would investigate, because it means the same thing. There's no real need for the conduct an investigation. So again, when you home in on those words and double think them and say, conduct an investigation, maybe I could just say investigate. Or another example, I will take your proposal into consideration. It sounds all well and dandy, right? But it means exactly the same as I will consider your proposal. So I will take your proposal into consideration. One, two, three, four, five, six, 7 words. I will consider your proposal. 5 words. So meaning the same thing, you haven't lost anything. So I want you to have a go at doing this, because it's a very, very useful practice. What could you say? I want a shorter alternative to this. At the present time. That's right, now. Exhibits a tendency to. Tends to. In view of the fact that, it's probably one that you've used many times before, you could just say because. A large number of, many. Now be especially aware of twin words that we use, two words together that are redundant because they both mean the same thing. We do this a lot. Like the sum total. Well, the sum is the total, so you should just pick either the sum or the total. an unexpected surprise. See, it sounds normal when you just say it, but it doesn't sound unusual or unnecessary repetition. But when you look at it, well, a surprise is by nature unexpected. So you don't need to say an unexpected surprise. You either say it was something unexpected or it was a surprise. A joint collaboration. See, are these familiar phrases that perhaps you've used in your writing or in your speaking before? Future plans. That's an interesting one, right? Because future, a plan by nature is something that's going to occur in the future. So it's a plan. A new record. Well, a record is by nature new if you set it. So you do not need to repeat. You're repeating yourself if you say a new record. So these are all examples now. These only come to light. This is the important thing for you to understand. They only come to light when you think closely. You have to ask yourself, you know, how useful or necessary is this word? And how to what extent could I omit it without losing anything? So adopt the principle that any word that can go must go. And if you take that as your maxim, it will stand you very, very well, because you will get used to the habit of just chopping away anything that's unnecessary, and that is what starts to bring your writing to life. And you'll begin to notice this effect. It's almost as if a sentence gains energy the less weight and baggage there is. So the power in a sentence starts to come up the more you omit, which is a strange thing, but less really is more in this instance. You see, we say things like, the specific point I wish to make is that brown and blue do match. You know, specific point, I mean, points are specific, right? Always. So do you really need to use the word specific? Let's try it without that. The point I wish to make is that brown and blue match. We don't really need to say do match either. That's another unnecessary word. The point I wish to make is that brown and blue match. You can take it further. Why do you have to say the point I wish to make? If you say my point is that brown and blue match. See how we begin to bring it down. Now, do you need to say my point is that brown and blue match? You could just say brown and blue match, because obviously it's a point that you're making. You don't need to say that it's a point. So I hope you're beginning to understand how, you know, we've gone from the specific point I wish to make is that brown and blue do match, down to brown and blue match. And I want you to really get that. How much real estate have you saved by saying that? Now, this is how you begin to get power. See, brown and blue match. It's a very strong, vivid statement. Whereas the earlier statement was surrounded by baggage and extra fat. That took away all its power. So I really hope you're beginning to get that point. And I want you to try this with a few sentences that I'm going to give you. I am seeking a new career at this moment in time. So you can pause this video and have a go at getting that down to as few words as possible. Okay, have you done that? You could take it down one level and say, I am seeking a new career at this time. So instead of I am seeking a new career at this moment in time, you say I'm seeking a new career at this time. Do you really need to say at this time? I'm seeking a new career. See, so like that, you want to get used to paring it down, paring it down, paring it down. Another example, Nokia continues to maintain a close watch on regulatory developments. The typical kind of language you might find in a press release from a company. Nokia continues to maintain a close watch on regulatory developments. Well, how about Nokia continues to watch regulatory developments? Why? Because maintain The word maintain a close watch implies a continuity anyway, right? So you don't need to say continues to maintain, because the word maintain contains the idea of continuation. So look out for things like that. You can always find ways on sentences that sound on the face of it and look on the face of it as being absolutely fine can be cut back. There are exceptions, as I've said, to all the rules, and you know, maybe sometimes longer, you don't have to break it down to its very least amount of words if for some reason they're adding a word here or there helps with the rhythm or helps with creating a mental picture. Because creating a mental picture is also an important part of communicating in writing. So, you know, if you may or may not find that, you know, a teacher who is loudly calling a halt to unruly classroom behavior may be more impactful than saying that a teacher told the children to stop misbehaving. So again, you need a reason to kind of break these principles, these rules. So I'm saying there are exceptions, but as long as you apply the rule and you only make an exception if there's a higher reason and it helps communication, it improves the communication in some way. You're weighing things for comprehension mainly, and for style and elegance. So you should look at these rules through that framework. Now, here's another exercise. Cut back this sentence as much as possible. If you fear that your partner is using keylogging and other technical forms of surveillance to track and control your behavior, please seek help. Okay. Now, I want you to try and reduce that to the fewest number of words as possible. So press pause and do that exercise, please. Okay, have you done that? Now, that was 24 words in the sentence I gave you, and I don't know how well you did. I managed to get this down to 16 words without losing anything. Seek help if you fear your partner is using keylogging or other technologies to track you. Now just compare that with what you got. You may have got even fewer. Now, we often use this phrase, which is, I'll give you an example in a minute, but this phrase, it's frequently unnecessary. Sometimes it is good, it's useful for rhythm, but you can weigh this. Often you can just strip out the words, which is, in sentences like this. The regulatory climate has got tougher for companies like ASX, comma, which is Australia's biggest bourse operator. Now, in journalism, we often would strip out the witches and just say, the regulatory climate has got tougher for companies like ASX, comma, Australia's biggest bourse operator. So it's another, which is a particular category of phrase which can be easily cut out to save words. Now, another exercise. Cut back this sentence. You will hear me coming back to this point again and again. It's 11 words. Pause the video. Okay. I've got it down to 7. I'll keep coming back to this point. Which appears to say exactly the same thing. So keep pairing back until you're satisfied that you've got to the simplest expression of the thought that you're trying to express as possible, but without sacrificing any of the meaning. That is the trick. Try this one. This is what I think Peter wants to say. How about, I think Peter wants to say this. Or this one. You know good writing the moment that you see it, because you find you can connect with it instantly. That's 19 words. Have a go at that one. Okay. Well, I managed to get that down to 6 words, I think, without losing anything, and much more powerful. You connect instantly with good writing. So I hope I've managed to explain to you the importance of economy in your writing. Always aim to write with the fewest number of words and the shortest possible words, and you'll find that your writing begins to take on a new power and force.